Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are not silent. We thank you that you have given us your scriptures. We thank you for your inerrant, infallible word. We pray this morning that you would give us ears to hear. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to truly understand and receive the good news of Jesus, who he is and what he's done for us. So we pray that your spirit would be at work deep in our hearts, transforming us into the image of Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Friends, we please be seated. And as you sit, please do keep your bulletins or your Bibles open there to Mark chapter 4 that we're going to be focusing on here this morning. Well, I wonder this morning if you're a good listener. I'm a preacher, so I guess it's natural for me to wonder that about you. Are you a good listener? Well, a woman by the name of Kate Murphy has authored a book entitled You're Not Listening, What You're Missing, and Why It Matters. And here's part of what she says in her book, quote, "When was the last time you listened to someone? Really listened without thinking about what you wanted to say next, glancing down at your phone or jumping in to offer your opinion? And when was the last time someone really listened to you? Was so attentive to what you were saying and whose response was so spot on that you felt truly understood. We are encouraged to listen to our hearts, our inner voices, and our guts, but rarely are we encouraged to listen carefully and purposefully to other people. Instead, we talk over one another at cocktail parties, work meetings, and even family dinners, online and in person. It's all about defining yourself, shaping the narrative, and staying on message. And yet listening can be more valuable than speaking. Wars have been fought, fortunes lost, and friendships wrecked for lack of listening. It is only by listening that we engage, understand, empathize, cooperate, and develop as human beings. It is fundamental to any successful relationship, personal, professional, and political. In writing a book about listening, I asked people from Brooklyn to Beijing what it meant to be a good listener. The typical response was a blank stare. People had no trouble, however, telling me what it meant to be a bad listener, rattling off actions such as interrupting, looking at a phone, and responding in a narcissistic or confused way. The sad truth is that people have more experience being cut off, ignored, and misunderstood than heard to their satisfaction." End quote. Well, friends, if what this author says is true in our relationships with one another, and it seems to be self-evidently true, then how much more do you think it might be true when it comes to our relationship with God? Actually, if you're not a Christian here this morning, you might find it interesting to learn that Jesus had far more to say about how we should listen than how we should talk. He had far more to say about our ears than our lips. Indeed, in the Christian faith, it's listening, it's hearing that's vital. And so much so that I think in some ways you can legitimately say that everything in our lives depends on the kind of ears that we have. And the reason that's the case is because Christianity is primarily a religion of the word. But not the words we speak, the words God speaks. And thus our job, you see, is to listen, and specifically to listen to the word of God, which is precisely what our Bible reading this morning is all about. In fact, if you want a quick summary of the points of this passage in Mark 4, it's there in verses 23 and 24. Jesus says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear." Okay, so that's the point of this passage. And Jesus makes that point in two different ways. First, he makes that point when he explains the purpose of parables. Namely, he says that parables are meant to test our hearing, and so therefore, they require the right kind of ears. And then second, Jesus emphasizes the importance of hearing by telling a specific parable that itself is all about the different ways people hear. And so, friends, as we study this passage this morning, we're actually being given a hearing exam of sorts. Our hearing is going to be tested this morning. And so may the Lord indeed give us ears to hear. So first, as we think about the purpose of parables, Parables require the right kind of ears. Now, if you look at this passage, the structure of it is such that in verses 1 to 9, Jesus tells a parable. And then in verses 13 to 20, he explains what that parable means. But in verses 10 to 12, he provides a more general explanation of why he speaks in parables at all. And connected to that is verses 21 to 25, which instruct us how it is that we should respond to Jesus' teaching. Now, parables, of course, are one of the main ways that Jesus taught. In fact, they make up something like 35% of all Jesus' teaching that's recorded for us in the Bible. And so even though Mark, as one of Jesus' biographers, doesn't actually record very much content of Jesus' teaching, he does record for us this particular parable. And Mark does so for us because this is really the foundational parable. It's a parable about parables. It's a teaching about teaching, and that's what Jesus is doing here. He's teaching. And so Mark sets the scene for us there in verses 1 and 2. Jesus is out by the sea. The crowds are massive, such that Jesus has to get into a boat and go a bit out from the shore so that he can teach from the boat while the crowds are there on land. And it's at that point that Jesus teaches them this famous parable about the sower and the seed and the soils. But then later, when he's alone with his disciples start to question him about the parables. And we know from the other Gospels that they're asking him questions like, what's this parable all about? And Jesus, why do you speak in parables in the first place? They're not easy to understand, Jesus. Why not just speak more plainly to people so that people can more easily and clearly understand what you're saying? Now, Jesus' response to the disciples there in verses 11 and 12 is actually one of the most difficult and in fact controversial statements there is, I think, in all the Gospels. Because what Jesus seems to be saying is that the reason he teaches in parables is so that people won't be able to easily understand what he's saying. He's saying that's the whole point. So in other words, contrary to the ways that some people speak about Jesus' parables today, the parables aren't meant simply to be clever illustrations that then make everything clear for people. And no, says Jesus, for some people, they're actually meant to conceal the truth. Look at verse 11. And he said to them, to you, meaning mostly the disciples there, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables. And here's the reason. So that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Now, I said that those are some of the most difficult and controversial words of Jesus. And there's really no way I'm going to be able to answer all the questions that you might have about these verses here this morning. But we do have to note that part of the purpose of parables is to intentionally keep people from seeing and hearing the truth about the kingdom of God. That is, from hearing the truth about who Jesus is as our King and how he's come to rescue us from our sins and to reconcile us to God. That's what we mean by the kingdom of God. And parables obscure that sometimes. Remember last week we noted a division between insiders and outsiders. Well, we see that division here once again. To those on the outside, like Jesus' family was, as we noted last week, Jesus says, everything's in parables. It doesn't make sense. Jesus and the things that he says and he does, he just seems to be out of his mind. And so they can't put two and two together. And the parables only seem to make it worse because the parables can be quite confusing at times. But, and this is equally important, we also need to note that this secret of the kingdom of God, as Jesus identifies it, isn't actually meant to remain a secret. And so to the disciples, Jesus says, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. And then look down at verses 21 and 22. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? Right? You don't light a lamp just so that you can hide it. You light it so that people can see it. Similarly, verse 22. For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. In other words, everything Jesus has been doing and teaching in Mark's gospel isn't so that it can be ultimately hidden. No, it's meant to be revealed. It's meant to be known and understood. And so, yes, when Jesus speaks in parables, it's all very confusing and nonsensical to some people. But to others, you see, it illuminates the truth of who he is and what the kingdom of God is all about. And so the critical question becomes, well, what makes the difference? And Jesus provides the answer, verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Okay, so if you truly listen, if you humble yourself before Jesus, if like his disciples, you sit at his feet, and you receive what he's saying, and you meditate on it, and you really listen to it, and you soak it in, then he's saying more and more will be given to you. But if you just quickly pass it by, and you don't really pay attention to what he says, then you're going to lose even the very little understanding that you have. And so it all depends on how you listen to the word of God. It all depends on if you have ears to hear. Friends, don't you find it that interesting that Jesus can give the exact same teaching to people? He can tell the exact same parable to people, and yet it has a completely different impact on them depending on what kind of ears they have. For some people, everything becomes illuminated. They hear Jesus, and it all begins to make sense. Life begins to make sense. The world begins to make sense. What God has been doing throughout history to establish his kingdom begins to make sense. But for others, it just confounds them even more. The Puritans spoke of it this way. They said, the same sun in the sky both melts wax and hardens clay. Same sun, same heat, same light, but having a very different effect depending on the object. So same parable, but a very different effect depending on the person. Some people are being hardened by Jesus' teaching. But some people are having their hearts melted warmly before God. Because the more they listen, the more they hear, and the more they hear, the more they're given. Friends, Christianity is all about the ears. What kind of ears do you have? Do you have ears to hear? And to be clear, the stakes are very high with that question. In verse 12, Jesus puts it in terms of forgiveness. Forgiveness, salvation, eternal life, knowing God, all depends on what kind of ears you have. Which again is why this parable in verses 1 to 9 and 13 to 20 is the foundational parable. It's why Jesus says there in verse 13, he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Because again, this is a parable about parables. It's a teaching about teaching. And more specifically, it's a parable that teaches us how to hear the teaching of Jesus so that we might indeed know what the kingdom of God's grace and forgiveness is all about in Jesus Christ. So friend, do you want to know God's forgiveness to you that's available in Jesus? Do you want to know what God's kingdom is all about? Do you want to be part of God's kingdom? Well, if so, then you need to learn how to hear rightly. And that's what this parable is all about. So let's briefly look at the details of this specific parable. Look at how Jesus begins in verse 3. And he begins by emphasizing, listen. Right? This whole passage really begins and ends with this call. Listen. Listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. Now, we often think of this parable, perhaps, as being the parable about the sower, or about the seed that the sower sows. And indeed, Jesus tells us down in verse 14 what that seed is. It's the word of God. The sower sows the word. But this parable isn't really so much about either the sower or the seed. It's really about the soils. Because the soils in this parable represent different types of ears and different types of hearing. And so what Jesus is presenting, you see, is the variety of ways that a person might hear the word of God. Because notice that the sower and the seed remain the same throughout the parable. And in fact, in each case, the seed of the word of God is sown in such a way that it's heard by the soil. And so whether it's the hard path or the rocky ground or the thorny ground or the good soil, in each case, Jesus says that the word is heard. And so the point is that there's a variety of hearing that takes place. A variety of hearing, but only one form of hearing, only one set of ears that's truly and lastingly fruitful. So friends, each of these soils represent people who hear. Okay, so these are all different people, you know, like those scattered on the beach that day that Jesus was teaching. And these are all different people who come to church and they sit and they hear the word of God as it's read and it's preached, but they don't all hear it in the same way. And so again, let this be your hearing exam. What kind of ears do you have? What kind of impact does the word of God really have on you? Well, the first kind of hearing that Jesus identifies is a hardened hearing. So when the sower goes out to sow the seed, verse 4, he casts the seed all about, and some of it lands on a hard path. And so because the path is hard, the seed just sits there on the surface of the path, and thus the birds can simply come and easily pluck it away. And then in verse 15, Jesus tells us what this means. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, notice they hear, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Now, I think sometimes we quickly dismiss this one. We know this is bad hearing that's taking place here, but let's not too quickly dismiss what Jesus is describing here. It'll be more instructive for us, I think, if we can sympathize at least a little bit with this kind of person that Jesus is describing. In fact, I often think of this kind of hearing as representing a typical New Yorker. It's the kind of hearing that doesn't put up with any stupidity, right? Give me the facts. Give me the evidence. Don't mess around with me. I don't have time, right? It's the kind of tough-mindedness that characterizes many New Yorkers. And yet sometimes, of course, a heart can be so jaded and so cynical that it can't really ever receive truth. And so the truth about God's kingdom in Jesus, it's heard, but it just kind of sits on the surface of their hearts. And thus, as soon as they step out of the church building, it's plucked away, and they quickly move on to the next task at hand. It's a hardened kind of hearing. Secondly, Jesus describes what we might call a shallow kind of hearing. Verses 5 and 6. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. And then the explanation down in verse 16. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. Right, so this is the kind of soil that's not very deep. It's just a couple of inches of soil overlaying a rock foundation. And so the seed, it gets into the soil, but it can't go very deep because of the rocky ground. And so precisely because it is so shallow, the sun immediately impacts it, and so it grows up right away. It's a quickly a green plant, and it looks like there's going to be tremendous growth. And friends, the same is true with many people who hear the word of God. They hear it, and they immediately get excited. They're filled with joy. They like what they're hearing. But what they haven't done, you see, is to really dig deep into God's word. They haven't really counted the cost of following Jesus. They haven't really absorbed the full teaching of God's kingdom. They haven't really understood that blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. They haven't quite understood that to follow Jesus means persecution at times. And they haven't grasped that there are things they have to give up to follow Jesus. And so they haven't even fully grasped that Jesus himself had to suffer and die for our sins before he entered into glory. And that therefore there's a similar pattern in the lives of all those who follow Jesus. That suffering always precedes glory. And thus they haven't really grasped the meaning of the cross at all. You know, they're very much like today's prosperity teachers. Those prosperity theologians and the people who sit in those prosperity cathedrals and hear how much God wants to pour wealth and health upon them no matter what. And so when life doesn't go well, when they get sick and God doesn't heal them, or when they lose their job and they can't figure out what God's doing, or when they start to lose friendships because they're now identifying themselves with Jesus, they simply fall away. Why? Because their hearing was shallow. There was no real root that could anchor them in tough times. They quickly grew up, but they're quickly gone. Thirdly, Jesus describes a distracted kind of hearing. Verse 18, "And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." Well, you know, given that we live in a big, busy city with bright lights and many allurements, perhaps this is the kind of bad hearing that we need to pay most attention to. This is the kind of person who hears the word. They profess to be a disciple of Jesus. They may even hold to that profession for the entirety of their lives. But as they come to the end of their lives, they look back, and when they do, there's no real spiritual fruit to be seen. Because though they heard the word, indeed, maybe they heard it every week as they attended church, yet it never really penetrated deep into their heart, because they were just too often distracted by the things of this world. Their job was just too demanding. They never really had time to absorb God's word. They loved the pursuit of wealth. They loved Netflix. They couldn't get enough streaming of videos and movies. There was always something with which to fill their hearts and minds other than the word of God. As I was reflecting on this passage this week, I received an email from the Gospel Coalition. I know some of you receive these regular emails as well. And this email had the provocative title, "When Fox News and CNN Disciple Christians." And in it was a link to an article by Brett McCracken, in which he writes, "A church's worship habits may occupy 2 hours of a Christian's week, but podcasts, radio shows, cable news, social media, streaming entertainment, and other forms of media account for upwards of 90 hours of their week." That's a staggering ratio. And as the article points out, it's only gotten worse in the pandemic and as we approach a presidential election. And so friends, it'd be good for us to pay attention to this reality. There are many voices out there. There are many things competing for your ears. And in competing for your ears, you see, they're really competing for your heart and for your mind. And so what are you really listening to? What are you really absorbing in your life? You may hear the word of God. In fact, you've heard it today. You've heard it read. You've heard it preached here right now. But are you so distracted, you see? by all these other voices that the word then never has really penetrated your heart. And thus in 15 years, 20 years, 30 years of being a Christian, you still can't see very much spiritual fruit in your life. Are you a distracted hearer? Well, that brings us finally to Jesus' fourth kind of hearing that he describes in this parable, which is a fruitful hearing. Verse 8. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then the explanation in verse 20. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So it's this fourth kind of hearing that truly represents those who have ears to hear. This is the kind of hearing that my children do when I tell them to come and get some ice cream. There's ice cream in the kitchen, children. Boom, they're up. They've heard me the first time. I don't have to repeat it. They are in the kitchen like that, which is very unlike when I tell them to pick up their clothes. They just kind of sit there. It's like they're deaf. They can't hear anything. Okay. Again, when I tell them there's ice cream, they got a whole new set of ears that are now attached to the sides of their head. Well, Jesus is saying that that's how some people hear the word of God. Indeed, he's saying that that's how all of us should be hearing the word of God. We should love the word. We should listen carefully to it. We should even be greedy for it. As Jesus describes the good soil, these are people who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, which means that these are people who, when they hear the word, they don't stand over it, but they sit under it and they humbly receive what God has to say to them. And so they're not talking back to God. They're receiving from God. They're listening to God. They're meditating deeply on God's word. They don't just read it and they don't just hear a biblical sermon. No, they meditate on it. They reflect on it. They prayerfully try to apply it to their lives. And therefore, it doesn't just go in one ear and out the other. And so these are people who say to God, they say, God, give me ears to hear. I want to hear your word. Help me to hear. God, I believe the truth of your word. I accept it. And God, please use your word to transform my life and bring you glory 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. In fact, the next time you study God's word, you might find it helpful to pray in that way. As you come to his word, as you begin to study, God, please give me ears to hear. Please help me to hear your word. And as you're reading through it and studying it, God, I believe it. I accept it. I believe its truth. I receive it into my life. And then at the end of it, God, take your word and by the power of your spirit, transform my life and bear fruit for your glory. And friends, all of this, you see, is a reflection of our hearts. If you have hearing problems, it's because you have heart problems. Ears that hear are ears that reflect humble hearts, which are deeply, desperately longing for and seeking and needing God's word. They're not distracted. They're not shallow. And they're not hard. And so, you know, even though Jesus describes four kinds of hearing in this parable, he's really only describing two, isn't he? Right, the kind of hearing that bears fruit that lasts, or the kind of hearing that bears no lasting fruit. He's really only describing two ways of hearing, which means, friends, there's only one way of hearing. There's only one way of hearing that brings faith and life and forgiveness and salvation. Hear the word of God. Accept it. And bear fruit. I want to encourage you to take just a few moments to quietly pray and ask God for his help to help give you ears to hear. We'll take a few moments to quietly pray on our own.